And now, get ready, folks. It's time for Banter with Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell. Banter. And now, here's Bob and Dan.
Hey, guys and gals, guess what? Today is Monday. And I'm very energized today. I'm totally energized. And with the permission of my co-banterer, and I've cleared this before I'm announcing it, we're making a big announcement today.
Now, this is huge.
This is so much different than you could have ever forecast for us, right?
This is breaking news.
We're going to do a segment on sitcoms. Sitcoms that have been around for a long time.
Sitcoms.
And the one we're going to start with just a little bit today, and we're going to pick it up later because, hey, Dan, I mean, let's say, what do we have? Sitcoms. We got Seinfeld. We got Frasier. What are some other big ones?
Friends was a sitcom.
Friends.
There's so many sitcoms. You know, those family shows, family life shows.
You people that listen to us, right now, I know you're saying, I'm going to turn those guys off because I'm not going to listen to this crap about sitcoms. Well, let me tell you something. This is like a business, sitcoms. Now, the one I'm going to mention in a few minutes has been on for over 14 years.
And nobody would think you would mention this one.
No, I wouldn't. In fact, now I'm finding out when I ask people, I say, well, do you ever watch this one sitcom? They say, oh, yeah, we're addicted to it. You're addicted to it? Yeah. Okay, here it is. It's called The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I would never imagine that breaking news would be you announcing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I've never seen an episode.
It's going to be a new segment for us. And between now and the next time, you can go on to, if you want to catch up on it, if you're a guy or a gal, and if you're a gal, you probably don't know about it, but if you're a guy, you might not. Although I've talked to some guys and they love it too. It's crazy. Now, people are not actors. They're real people.
Yeah.
They've had famous people in it. Remember, it's the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. These aren't actors. So
there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of drama in those shows.
The ladies haven't always been the same. They've been some extremely wealthy Beverly Hills people. One that I remember, Kelsey Grammer, who stars in Frasier, right?
Yeah.
Wife was on there for a couple of seasons. And they have other people on. So they'll have, but they have, but here's the part that I'm being redundant on, I know, is that these are real people. So,
and they get into spats and they fight with each other. The ladies, you always see excerpts. Now there's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. There's Atlanta, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I guess. Yeah.
I think there's Real Housewives of Las Vegas. It's like a franchise.
I hadn't thought about it. This is billions and billions of dollars, right?
I think you could probably produce Real Housewives of Leawood.
Could be, but you have to find people that, well, let me stop for a second, because we're not going to be able to cover all of it today. There's just so much other things to talk about. But what struck me about it was that I've watched television for, well, at least the last 15 years, and I've not seen an episode. But today, over the weekend, I'm with a half a dozen people. They all know the episodes. They all know the people that are involved in it.
So you had to catch up.
Here's what they said to me. They said, Bob, go watch an episode called, the Dinner from Hell episode.
I'm going to write this down. The Dinner from Hell.
The Dinner from Hell episode. Now you can go to YouTube video and you'll see quite a bit of,
excerpts,
segments, right? But it's kind of interesting. Now, the Dinner from Hell There's like all these Beverly Hills housewives. All of them are dressed up like they're, like they're going to a formal activity. So, they're having a big dinner party, and one of the people they invite is a what do you call it, a mentalist. A
Ah.
mentalist. So, she starts talking to various people at the table and saying, your husband is this, your husband is that. And she mentioned this one lady. She says, your husband will never emotionally satisfy you. So they have all these conversations, right? Now, they have kind of an interesting thing. Then you'll see the entire dinner party. They're all talking, right? It's
Yeah.
hard to understand what each of them are saying. They'll cut out to a cutout, and there'll just be one lady there. And she'll say, oh, so-and-so is now getting on so-and-so. And they're talking about so-and-so. They're talking about blah, blah. So then they'll go back to the dinner party, and then you'll hear some more stuff. Then they'll go back. And I have to say, it is a little bit intriguing. I don't know the people yet, but I will know them, right? Eventually, right?
I
So that's
think it's coming to me. I think with your entrepreneurial, you're a serial entrepreneur all your life. Maybe it's just Kansas City, but Leawood, hell, Real Housewives of Leawood. Maybe we expand it to Kansas City to get more advertising dollars.
well, sure. But we're not going to be involved in starting a new show. The producer, they're making billions off this Real Housewives thing, right? What I'm amazed is that. I'm amazed that in an age where we talk about food and housing and technology, let me give you a contrast.
We
So Real Housewives have been on for 14 years, right? Now, the story of the business 23andMe, right?
It's 23andMe. Is that the genetic thing, the testing thing?
Right. The
Okay.
woman who started it was a multi-billionaire. She's one of the wives of some other multi-billionaire. So she starts it. Now, when it started, it came out at a $6 billion valuation. $6 billion.
When it first started.
It was started about 6 years ago. And that's my point. So in 6 years, a $6 billion valuation company has gone from nothing, from 6 billion. They filed bankruptcy today.
Because they got caught with all kinds of the personal information got
I never heard that, but they file bankruptcy because they run out of money. They don't have the cash to keep going now. But listen to this. This is my point. While they're raising money and filing bankruptcy and growing, the housewives. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills have just, they're just still going.
And why is that? Why? It's because right
Can't
there,
tell
that
me
word
why.
banter, because what are those women always doing? They are always bantering, and it's why people love us in our show, banter. People like to watch people
Oh.
banter.
If you're watching here now and you've never watched the Housewives, I'm gonna call it, say it again, the Real Housewives. Now remember, and you out there probably already know this, but I didn't know it. I thought when I first saw it, they're all actors. And then I did some research on it. No, they're not actors at all. These are real people
And
dressing up, going to a real dinner, and being in front of video cameras and talking about their husbands and their life and what they like to do. But tell me, Dan, I mean, why is this so successful?
well, I think because it would be because men would maybe watch it because they'd get a kick out of the personalities of the women and say, oh, that's like my wife. Women would watch it because it's the natural. This will get me in trouble, but sometimes women will like to banter, have fights between each other, and they can relate to one woman or the other's position. And they also like to see fashion and jewelry and
Yeah.
makeup.
That you may have nailed it right there. You'll probably get a pass on your earlier comment on women bantering, but I think you've nailed it on the fashion, because these women, in fact, what I noticed is before the actual, let's say, before the actual get together starts, you see them preparing, putting lipstick on, mascara, all that kind of stuff, right?
Oh,
So they're
okay.
getting ready for a big outing. And then a 30-foot limousine pulls up, And some of them get in one limousine and some of them get another limousine. They all have limousines, right? These are the real housewives of Beverly Hills, right? And they go to this party, they go to this event, and you watch it on video. Now, I don't know what they do on the other videos, but I think you nailed it, and that it is a, it's a fashion show. I didn't realize it till you just mentioned it. But
Yeah.
they have their, you know, they have really upscale dresses on and upscale makeup and hairdos. And I don't know. I may start watching this at night. I've been watching at night. You know, my go-to show that sends me to Never Never Land is Seinfeld.
Yes.
I've watched every Seinfeld episode.
I have too.
So I don't have to think when I'm watching it. I let my mind drift into Never Never Land. But
But do you find yourself, even though you've seen them the same thing maybe two or three times, maybe more, that you'll laugh at something Kramer does or
oh yeah, it's so funny. Thank
yeah.
God. And the benefit of getting older, you forget a lot of the old stuff. So you're
Yeah.
listening it for the first time, right?
Or I'll sometimes fall asleep at night watching Seinfeld, so I'll miss half the episode, and then I see the episode again and I go, oh, I didn't remember that.
Exactly, but they got great lines. Now, okay, folks, listen in because you know I'm a tech guy, at least that's how I market myself, right? But here I am now getting into these sitcoms. Now, I don't know yet if these people are actually paid. They may make money for this. I don't know. But I know this, that Seinfeld at one time was getting, I think, $3 or $4 million an episode.
Oh my gosh. I think that that's why they don't really do much more acting, is because their residuals from that show are just phenomenal.
Exactly. Well, Seinfeld was in the 90s, right? Now we're like 24 years later. I'm still watching it. I think it's still funny.
Yeah. And it's funny because they didn't have the cell phones were just coming out during.
Well, let's be specific. The mobile phone, or no, but the iPhone is 2007.
Yeah.
Now, there were mobile phones before that, but they were heavy, battery operated. I had one.
Because remember the episode where Elaine, they were yelling at Elaine because she was making a call to her friend and the friend's mother had died, and they're saying, you don't make that kind of call except from a landline. You don't say you feel sorry for it because you're on the cell phone. On the, they didn't even call it cell phone. They're port, they called it mobile phone or whatever. And
You're right.
Elaine, because it would cut out, and they said that was
Yeah.
rude.
So you got this whole sitcom thing. So our new segment for all those of you who listen in or may listen in the future, pass it around now. We're going to have a new segment. Every podcast will have something on one of the sitcoms, and we're going to focus for the next four or five podcasts. We're going to focus on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And we're going to deal with everything from why it's successful, why people like it, to the business part of it, you know, as Dan says, the franchise, right? It is a franchise, right? And then we're going to deal with the issues of these when they sign up these women, do they sign a contract? Do they get paid? Now, you out there who watch them all the time, you may know answers to all those questions. And if you do, please send us an email, get on our show, tell us about the Real
We,
Housewives.
you could be a guest on Banter. And if you want to write us, webtalkwithbob@gmail. Webtalkwithbob@gmail.
Now, let's move on to some of our other subjects. We'll come back to sitcoms because I do find it addictive. But okay,
Tesla.
Tesla up $30 a share today.
They went from firebombing cars to being on fire in the stock market.
Exactly, it's incredible, and I think it's a combination of well, we talked last week about the F-47. And we're pretty sure that the F-47 is going to be driven by humanoids. And who is developing humanoids faster than any other American company but Tesla's?
Tesla.
Because his
And
he has pictures of humanoids building the Tesla.
A while back, about a month ago or 2 months ago, for some reason, Trump mentioned that Elon was out talking to Boeing, trying to help them. He might have been out there as part of the negotiations of the
Oh gosh, I
F-47.
didn't even think about that. That's a very good point. Right. That's a good point. That's
Who knows?
exactly
He could buy. What do you think? What's the valuation of Boeing?
right. I don't know, but I offhand I could find it in a couple seconds, but he could buy it. You're right. He could buy Boeing.
He could
But
buy Boeing.
he didn't need to buy. He doesn't need to buy Boeing, but he probably could license his humanoid technology to Boeing, and maybe do something with SpaceX. But I didn't thought about that. I think you're absolutely right, and we know this, that this F-47, as you said, Trump liked it because he's an egomaniac, right? And that
Because
was
of number 47. I think it was because the
seven,
Air
right?
Force was started in 47.
No, it was because he's the 47th president.
No, I think the real reason was that it 1947, it was the Army Air Corps. The
Oh, I didn't
Army Air
know
Corps became the Air Force and it separated
that. I
out.
didn't know that. That was 1947.
Yeah.
Where'd you read that?
Well, my dad was in World War II and he used to talk about the Army. And a good friend of mine now in heaven, he flew B-17 bombers in
When
World
did you
War.
talk to him last?
Well, he's in heaven. I haven't talked to him in 5 years.
No,
But
but I'm saying, I
the
think you
last
have a
time I
good
saw him
point,
was
right?
cool. I got to take him down to the Kansas City Airport during
Yeah.
an air show, and we actually got him lined up so that he would
Great.
fly in a B-17. And went up in the B-17, flew around, and he landed.
That's exciting. Well, I kind of think that they named it 47 because he's the 47th president. But in any event, if you ask him, he'll tell you why they named it 47.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, it's
So
good that we stay ahead. Now,
that's
what do you
Boeing.
think? Speaking of Trump and military, the Ronald Reagan called it Star Wars,
Right.
but Trump is calling it the Golden Dorm because he likes everything golden, right? Golden
Right.
age, golden air furniture, everything in his around him gold. The Golden Dome.
Right.
And I've heard generals and people say, you know, Israel has it because Israel's about the size of New Jersey. So could you protect J New Jersey with missiles all around it? Yes. But the United States, it would be tough to create a iron dome like Israel has to prevent from rocket attacks.
Now, I don't know how it works, but if it works off of satellites, then it's possible because Starlink has already got, what, 20,000 satellites up there in the air, or 7,000 in the air already that circle it. I say, keep saying circle the globe, but they're around the globe, right? So the satellites could spot whatever's coming, but I think it's a good idea. I don't exactly know what it is, but of course, anytime you talk about global protection, that's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
But it's only a good idea if you're expecting that the attack on the United States will be through weapons. And I never think, I never, I'm finished believing that. I don't think that's ever going to happen. The attacks in my mind will never be nuclear. They will never be bombs,
You
except
think
maybe local skirmishes like the Ukraine.
you think it will be cyber or
All cyber.
biological weapons, take out
Yeah,
our water
cyber or
supply?
analogy, right? Like
Take out our food supply.
when they took out that power station at the Heathrow Airport and shut Heathrow down for 24 hours, that was just a little fire. That's
Yeah.
an example. Let's say you took out JFK, Heathrow, Chicago, Atlanta, San Francisco, Oakland, a few other airports with just a fire in a power station, right? If those airports go down for 24 hours, you've got hundreds of planes in the air with nowhere to land.
Yeah.
So,
Imagine if the cellular system, the cell towers, would go down. I mean, how many landlines are there in America? They're not very many.
you're absolutely right. Think about it this way. I was in a Tesla yesterday and we were in a parking lot and we wanted to go over to Winstead's to get a hamburger. And the driver simply punched in Winstead's and bingo, the car took us there. And I said to myself, we're raising an entire generation of people who don't know how to read a map. Probably don't know where to buy one, you
Bigger
know?
than that, they don't know which way is north, east, south, or west.
Well, they look at their TV, they look at the little screen there and they say which way is north and the arrow points up, but it's to me it's like it's so amazing when I think about it, because you're right, because I haven't seen a map. We'll put it another way. I don't know of anybody under 40 that I've ever been with in the last 5 years that know what a map is.
Do you remember driving in cars when you'd have to get the map out, the Rand McNally map, and
McNally.
you'd turn the page?
But see, there's another example you point out. My dad wouldn't leave the house without two things. First, the Rand McNally map. Not and the whole folder. I mean, it was like 20, 4 inches thick, right? And the second thing was American Express checks.
Don't leave home without them. Traveler's checks.
Exactly. He wouldn't leave home without traveler's checks because he was worried about running out of money because he couldn't get them. Now we have people, and me, for example, I go to New York with no cash.
Right.
No cash. I was in Washington, D.C. for 10 days. I had no cash. Everything was credit card or Venmo. Now, one last thing. So, over the weekend, when I was with these ladies and having some fun, they're relatives of mine,
These
we
were
went to,
relatives that were the big fans of House, Real Housewives
and
of.
other sitcoms, but we went to a nail shop and got a pedicure. Now,
Oh my God. No, wait a minute. You got a man, you got a pedicure on the feet? You know that's a technical
pedicure
foul. I
and
can't, I've
manicure.
never had a pedicure.
Well, I should take you and get one.
Never gonna have one. Not gonna happen.
You'd be surprised. So I got a manicure and a pedicure, but that's not the point. So I'm asking somebody, how do I tip the person? Because I don't carry any cash.
Oh.
And they said, well, they'll give you a little card with their QR tip code on it. You just take a picture of it and send them the money on Venmo.
Oh my gosh. QR code.
QR code. So when I went up to the front desk to say about the tip, they said, oh, no, you can't include the tip with your charge. But they said, who are you with? And I said, I was back there in the back. And they said, so they pulled out a whole list of QR codes and they said, this is the QR code for the person that worked on you. And I took a picture of it and I sent her $15 and that was it. No, but you see what's going on here? It's so electronic. It's just like, it's
Now, have
my.
they stopped making pennies? Or we remember in the whole cashless society, pennies are out, right? Didn't
I don't
Trump
know.
say no more
People.
pennies?
I don't know.
Yeah, Trump said no more pennies.
Pennies may be worth, in 20 years, a penny might be worth $50.
I know it. So we better hoard the pennies.
Well, you could become a penny collector.
A penny mogul.
Penny mogul, right? Start collecting all the pennies in the world. You go down to the bank and say, I just want to buy all your pennies, right?
And
You buy
then,
all the
like,
pennies.
yeah, build like a huge hill, like Mount Penny.
So that's the a couple of issues on technology. And by the way, Venmo, PayPal, that's all Elon Musk. That's where he got, that's one of the things he started with
Yeah.
PayPal. So what I'm driving at is that there's just so much stuff going on. I last year I was down at in Memphis, Tennessee at the Elvis Presley place. And I
How'd you
went
want
out
me to do my
to LA.
Elvis? Wise men say only fools rush in. Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good. So I went out to the valet to get my car, and again, didn't have no cash. And he said, well, I take Venmo. Now, at the time, I didn't, I just thought, huh, okay. I didn't ask him for his code, but now I realize, yeah, everybody's, not everybody, all the people that I'm looking at now in my bubble, my pedicure or manicure people, yeah, they just, here's my QR code, tip me.
It just hit me as my dog Hercules here is trying to get my attention. Everybody loves my dog Hercules. Herc, did you want to come up? You want to say hello? Come on. No, he's just looking at me. Well, I should put a big QR code on like a jacket on him, and everybody says, "Oh, he's so cute." And I said, "Well, give him a tip. Give him a
I
here's
think
his
that's
tip."
a really good idea, right? Give him a tip. Or you just say, tip me. They just take the QR code and send you
Send
$5.
Hercules the Hercules Fund. Scholarship fund actually to send him to dog training, obedience training.
So what else we got? We got sports. What's going on in
Hey,
sports?
oh my gosh, did you watch the NCAA? We're down to Sweet 16. Did you see the Maryland Colorado State final 3 seconds?
I heard about it. Tell me about it.
Oh my gosh, Colorado State underdog, total underdog against Maryland. They hit a 3-point shot. They were up by one with three. Maryland's bringing it down, calls timeout, 3.6 seconds left. The guy drives, and he, I mean, as a referee, you know, there's two ways to call it. You never want a referee to make the decide the game. You want the players to decide the game, and I never question fellow referees. But to me, just Google Maryland, Colorado State, last shot. He took one, two, three steps, and then he released the ball, and that's a travel. And a ref at that level, I think, should have called travel.
Yeah.
Now, some people say, no, let him play. I'm a let him play kind of ref. But this was.
No, if they're guilty of a infraction on the rules, they've got to be called.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't make a judgment about, I don't want to take away a great play or anything. And he wasn't bobbling the ball. Now, if he was bobbling the ball, I would do this. I didn't. And the refs were just in positioning. I don't want to say anything bad about refs because
they just said something bad about them.
Yeah, I know. I was disappointed they didn't call. Now, I love Colorado State in the upset. Our friend, little shout out to our friend, hope he's listening, Al Betts. He's a big Maryland Terrapins fan, right?
Yeah, he already bragged to me about it.
Al, if you're listening, you should not have won that game.
Uh-oh.
Buddy.
Them's fighting words there, Dan.
Yeah, Colorado State should have upset you. Here's what I would have done. Out in the ref, I'm going, no shot, no shot, no shot there.
Yeah.
Travel. And the crowd would have went crazy.
What else we got going on here?
Okay, so let's see. Well,
I got
Trump.
Fire away, but I got
Trump. Trump's, you mentioned about the stock market, you know, Trump said, well, maybe we won't do the tariffs. And then now the next thing, here's the scandal that I'm sure people that don't like Trump are going to say that he's manipulating the market, that he knows that if he pulls back on the tariffs, that it's going to go up. So then everybody will be watching, just like you watch, what's her name? Nancy, what's Pelosi? You watch her stock purchases. People are going to analyze Republican stock purchases.
Okay, so here's my two things. Greenland.
They're mad. They're mad.
Why are they mad?
They're mad because Mike Waltz, National Security Advisor, and Usha, the VP, the second lady, they went there because it's some kind of Greenland days or some kind of special event going on in Greenland. So we sent a delegation from the United States, and Greenland's now mad. They're saying that's part of Trump's plan to take us over, and they're not happy. Canada.
Was Greenland, stay on Greenland for a second now. The mayor, I know, was criticizing what happened, right? She was saying it was political, but my question is that what are the people, didn't they vote out the left people and put in some of the rights conservative people in Greenland?
Yeah, they did put some conservative people that were a little bit favoring Trump, but there's only, now, do you tell me this or did I read this? There's only 50,000 people in the entire continent or group country?
I didn't tell you that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the right number.
There are more people in Overland Park or Olathe or Shawnee.
Well, you got Google there. Ask Google how many people in Greenland.
Okay, that's right. Hey, Google, what is the population of Greenland? In 2023, the population of Greenland was 56,865.
There we go. Right. So Greenland is going to be real estate owned by the United States by the end of the year, if not sooner, at least by the end of next year. Denmark, what have they done? What has Denmark done for Greenland? I don't know, but probably nothing.
And the minerals or the rare minerals, or what could the United States help them with their economy?
I think Trump has a good point, is that from national security perspective, they're in a good spot for us to have a military base or something to launch things from over to Europe or someplace else. So they're in a good spot. I don't think they have anything to lose. Whether Denmark owns them or we own them, it doesn't make a darn bit of difference. What they really should be looking at is is irrespective of who on paper owns them, who makes their life easier and better, health-wise, financial-wise, things like that. And I'll tell you, all the business people in Greenland, my view now, I don't know all the people, all the business people in Greenland, but the business people got to be in favor of it because they're thinking, oh God, more tourists, more money, more joint ventures, things like that. So the businesses are going to be in favor of it, for sure, you know.
And you know what? We could start there. You and I could go there and start Real Housewives of Greenland.
Yeah, right,
Have a
sure.
sitcom. No, but really, you know, it's funny. I've been thinking about this. And when Trump first talked about Greenland and Canada, I thought, you know, give me a break. The guy's a knucklehead. But the more I think about it, and you mentioned this once in a previous podcast, Banter with Bob and Dan, which, by the way, folks, be sure like, subscribe, send us a note at Web Talk with Bob, Web Talk with Bob. At gmail.com. But you mentioned this, the Louisiana Purchase. What were the great, we all learned in history, you know, we all think of the maps of the world as
Right.
just fixed. It's the way it's always been. But if you look at Russia, Russia's given up land and changed
Yeah.
countries, changed. In
Oh yeah, sure.
Africa, they're always changing the names. So what, I mean, I really do see the merit. Now, I understand national pride that Canada has. And I understand that if somebody's trying to, you know, why wouldn't Canada say, well, why doesn't the United States become Canada? Well, whatever happened, it really would. The benefit to Canada would be huge, as Trump would say, huge, huge, huge.
Well, yeah.
And the benefit and the cost of oil, lumber, a lot of the things that Canada has would be good. We might get cheaper health care.
Yeah, I mean, it's only someone who doesn't think outside the box would forget about Seward's Folly.
Yeah, Seward's Folly, yeah.
You know, and I'll go back to the Louisiana Purchase. Who owned it when we bought it?
Was Spain? Was it
I don't
Mexico or Spain?
know. I didn't. I think I went to sleep during that class, right?
Yeah, I got a C minus in
I always thought it
geography.
was France, but that's okay. But the real point was there was a group, there was an area of the United States, and it really, I think, encompassed four states. You people can Google it and check it out. And we bought it from somebody. And, you know, I guess people were in favor of it when we bought it. And when we bought Alaska, that was thought to be a joke.
Yeah.
Look at all the minerals we got out of Alaska, oil rights and things.
Exactly.
So no, I think it's very possible that, again, that most of us get, we think so much inside the box. It never occurred to me to think, oh, gee, let's take over Greenland. Never.
Yeah, because we
But
just don't think
somebody,
about it.
no,
We
but somebody else
live in
said,
a world of that's the way it's always been.
right. And so I have to sometimes try to get out of my bubble. So we got Greenland, and then we've got Russia is kind of in the back burner for a while. The you hold Ukraine issue on the back burner. I guess they're in Saudi Arabia, you know, talking about it. What else is going on? I mean, we've got Greenland and Tesla, and then I'm thinking about Elon Musk for just a little, for a few minutes. And I think you predicted that Vivek Rajaswamy, what's his, how do you pronounce his
Yeah,
name?
Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah, he would back out. He would not be together. Remember that?
You predicted that, and you're right on. He's running for governor now. And I'm going to make a similar prediction, and maybe you already did, about Elon Musk, that he'll, before the end of the year, right, Trump will convert Doge into a full-blown department and put somebody like Jim Jorgensen in charge of it.
Jim Jordan?
Jim, yeah, the yeah,
Yeah,
my
the Ohio representative.
Exactly.
Yeah,
But
Jim, he'd
somehow
probably
that
be good at
translates.
that. I'm surprised he's disappeared. He was usually one of Trump's henchmen.
Well, I see him occasionally now, but I think he's going to get a high level position, and I think that'd be a great thing for him. Nobody asks questions like he does.
That's very good, Bob.
Never.
A
Right.
plus
So,
analysis.
and I think the concept will be this: is that all the departments tend to be pillar-like, right? They have a fief guy at the top, a fiefdom, and thousands of employees, right? But
Yeah.
there's not a horizontal department that looks across all the departments. Theoretically, the Department of Budget does, but obviously it doesn't. That's what DOGE is. DOGE is a horizontal view across all the departments. And I think that's a good thing. And I'll give you an example in real life. In Boeing, they have what they call vertical and horizontal management. So let's say I'm an engineer at Boeing, and let's say I'm a mechanical engineer. So I report to, we'll call it the vice president of mechanical engineering. So I
Okay.
report vertically to a vice president of my skill set. But since I work on a 747 aircraft, I report horizontally to the project manager for that 747 aircraft. I got two bosses, a horizontal boss, which is a management layer, and a vertical boss, which is a skill level boss, right? So a lot of corporations now look at that if you have very complex projects, so that essentially a mechanical engineer can report up to somebody who understands mechanical engineering and reports horizontally against the project manager on the aircraft I'm working on. Now that's a relatively traditional concept for large corporations that have both that have complex situations and projects, right? But the government, which is a complex organization, doesn't have that. They just have vertical pillars of fiefdoms, is what I call them, right?
Yeah.
I'm not picking on any one cabinet, but I'm saying there isn't a horizontal manager that these people report to. I mean, it's vertical, so they report to the president. So I think DOGE will eventually become a full department. Musk will probably become an advisor. He's going to be around for a long time. And he'll go back to cutting deals with Boeing on humanoids and building self-driving cars. And
Yeah.
somebody like Jim, I call him Jorgensen. That's Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan, yeah. He was
Yeah.
a former wrestler.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, that's right. He was. That's right.
Yeah.
He went to the wrestling match with Trump.
Oh, did he? That's right. Trump went to the NCAA. That's right. Good. Well, you know what's going on. So, you know, a thing we haven't talked today, we probably have run out of time for that we talked about last time. I guess the buzz is out because she's the voice of the White House. Caroline
Oh, yeah.
Leavitt.
I don't
We got to talk
know
about
much
her.
about her. What's your opinion, Dan?
Well, it's a good thing I'm perfect so I can talk about her, but she's a little bit snarky. I think she's disrespectful to professional journalists who have and organizations like the Associated Press. You know, you don't say, it'd be like me saying to you, well, I'd expect that kind of question from you, Bob Sherwood.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be very respectful, not only because, well, you're my friend, but even if you were just an acquaintance, I know it would not endear me to you. And I think she just treats people, she's in campaign mode. She thinks she can talk to people like she's in political campaign mode, and she is the representative that's supposed to be the liaison, the partner, the ambassador with the media. And as what somebody once told me, you don't pick a fight with people who buy ink by the barrel, meaning the print, you know, newspaper print ink.
So is that a negative comment on the press by saying that? If you buy ink by the barrel, that means your ink's not
Well, you
very.
don't fight with them. You don't pick a fight with them.
Yeah.
It's like you don't walk into you don't go through the fence of a dog of a junkyard where there are German shepherds and you know vicious dogs. You just don't do that. And I
Which
think
one is she now? Is she the German Shepherd or somebody else?
no,
In
she's the
that
person
analogy.
that I believe making not good common sense judgment. And I predict she won't be around by September.
Okay, that's your prediction. That's good. My prediction is that Musk will be gone also. Now I say gone, he'll still be on the press, but he's going to finally realize, hey, listen, I'm a better inventor than I am dealing with these politicians.
Well, his board of directors are after him too, aren't they? They're all mad at him.
Yeah, they won't be mad. They're not mad today when the stock went up $30 today and $12 on Friday. But he's still below where I bought the stock at, so he's still got a ways to go.
Oh.
event. It doesn't won't take very much because any positive news at all, and I'll make one more prediction. Warren Buffett, his main investment in China is in a company called BYD.
What's that? I don't know this.
They build electronic vehicles for other people. Like they build EVs for BMW.
Oh.
They build EVs for anybody that wants them to build them for. And they now, as apparently, and I haven't seen all the latest numbers, apparently now they now have surpassed Tesla in the number of electronic vehicles that they've built. But they are a sizable company in China. And here's my point. My point is that eventually Warren Buffett is going to convince Trump or somebody else, hey, we got to let these Chinese companies in the United States. We're not going to be able to keep them out. And once they let BYD in, then they let others in. And that's, in my opinion, good for Tesla. You might say it, well, it's bad because it got competition, but the reason I think it's good is because it basically authenticates the whole EV concept and will then promote the fact that this $8 billion for building EV charging stations, for which they've only built seven so far, will finally take effect. When that happens, when they
Are you
prove.
listening to the propaganda, campaign propaganda?
No, huh? I'm just.
There's eight locations which have like 400 charging stations, but
Well, for everybody. That's okay.
that was part of the infrastructure plan, which we have to give credit to the previous
400, 500.
administration.
I don't care. Yeah. Whatever the number, it's a big number, I'll grant you. But the real point, I'm not saying they didn't build a few. Maybe they built 1,000. But I'm really saying until you drive down I-70 or I-80 and there's a charging station, every place there's a gas station, when that happens, an EV takes off.
Yeah.
And what's holding it up, I think, is the gas station people. They're saying, if you're going to put EV stations, we want them in our gas stations and we want the government to pay for them.
It
Because that
is.
should go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a neighbor that grew up in a little town in Missouri, Union, Missouri,
Yeah.
and was going home this weekend, and they had to map out where, because they could only get like that particular model could only get like 250 miles, so they had
I
to
got it,
map
Brad.
out, because there wasn't a charging station in Union,
Yeah.
so I had to map out where they were going to charge.
Yeah. And I guess I should have corrected myself when I said eight. Let's say it's 400 or 1,000. We have, I don't know, 500,000 gas stations.
Yeah.
And we need that many, charging stations. I can only go for 300 or 400, 500 miles on tank of gas. I need to get more gas. And the gas stations are the likely place to put the EV charging stations because they already have the land. They already have the land to do it.
Yeah, I'm surprised, places like Walmart, if there's at least close to me, the Walmart has like 10 charging stations and
Yeah.
Target has two or three. Why
Yeah.
they don't get into that business?
Well, I don't think it's consistent with their business model. They put them at their stores because they want people to drive there, and that becomes a destination point. But their business model isn't to go build, 25,000 charging stations around along I-70 between, Kansas City and Phoenix, Arizona. But that's going to happen. I think I told you a friend of mine was at the big conference on charging stations in Georgia this week, and it's going to start happening, and probably old Trump will come out one day. I just signed an executive order, for 200,000 charging stations, and they'll be there within a few days.
Yeah.
But
Well,
anyway, that's
he'll never admit that the money was there from a previous
yeah.
administration, because it was a good look. It was, and you talked about this with the CHIPS Act. There was two or three things that the previous administration, President Biden, did some things, and one of them was setting the stage for at least more thought. He didn't
Yeah.
do it right because he did away with too much with fuels like gas. But he did set the stage for EV, because even where I live, when I first moved here 8 years ago, there was probably one EV. Now I hear that
Yeah, right.
probably there's 10 or 12.
So what do we got left here? Is that pretty well covered for
Well, I
today?
think we have covered things. We have had breaking news, a real breakthrough. We've merged into the media with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
A new segment.
A new segment.
Our finance, politics, sports, technology, and sitcoms.
And here's one that you will watch, a little teaser, a tickler we could talk about next time. I think it was Netflix or maybe it was Prime just licensed the contract to Donald Trump's The Apprentice,
Oh, yeah.
the whole show. Watch the first episode. I was shocked. I mean, you and I in our right here in our podcast, I would say we are 2x or 3x better than Donald Trump was on the
Oh, yeah.
initial Apprentice. He was terrible. Because you could see he was on his helicopter, and like there's somebody's holding the cards. And this is great. I get
He
to
still is not
fly
very good.
over.
Trump is not conversational.
Right.
He's like in the trumpet world, he'd be like boop, boop, boop. He's a staccato guy, right? Whereas you and I, to a large extent, are conversationalists. We're actually having, or at least trying to have, a conversation that somebody else might listen to and might have a thoughtful, provoking thought.
Yes.
But he's not conversational. And if you really, now maybe when he gets interviewed, but even his conversations are more about, I'm this, I'm that, they didn't do this, we didn't do that, I did that, I finally did that. And I grant him that because I am an outcome measuring person, but I see that as a major weakness, of course, but he's not a conversationalist. So
Yeah.
bring us home, Dan. Bring us home.
Okay, folks. Well, listen. Banter with Bob and Dan. If you want to write us and tell us, Dan, you're dorky, Bob is a genius, or Bob, you're a heckler, whatever you want to say to us, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. Or you can comment right below here on YouTube. Just like us, comment. But here's the thing. Copy the link, send it to 10 people and say, listen to these guys. Listen to these guys. They just ramble on about it, but it's really interesting stuff.
Yeah. I was looking at my emails if anybody sent us something to comment on.
They got it. We remember a month ago we were offering a free trip to Hawaii. That's over though now, folks. That's over.
Yeah. All right. So,
Okay.
okay, we're you brought it home. That's it. Shut us down then.
Okay. See you all next time. Keep watching Banter with Bob and Dan.